Tuesday, I started working on my sermon because I knew Saturday was coming. I knew I would be busy all day Saturday, and last week was pretty busy. And so all week I had prayed and I had worked on my sermon, and I really had not really put it all together yet. And then by Thursday, I had it all together. I knew what I was going to pray about, or I knew what I was going to preach about, okay? And so this morning, I present to you my message on how to pray. And so it just, I was amazed. I said, God, you must really want us to focus on prayer, because everybody I've talked to and everything that's happened this week has all been revolved around prayer in our life and how important prayer is. And so our text this morning is in Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 1 through 5, and also a more familiar probably in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. And if you have your Bibles, you want to follow along, or if you want to just read on the screen, I do encourage you. You know, I know not everybody carries a paper Bible much anymore, but we got our cell phones and we got apps, and they're good too. As long as you're reading the Word of God, that's what's most important. I encourage you. So let me pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. I believe this is what you had for me to say this morning, Lord. But it's not my words, it's your words. So, Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through me, Lord. Anoint these words as they are anointed because they come from you. Your word is anointed. Lord, your word is the truth. So let us learn from your word this morning. Lord, I praise you and thank you for what you're going to do with these words. In Jesus' name, amen. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. That's in Luke 11, 1 through 5. And then when we look at Matthew, it's probably a little more familiar. It says, starting verse 9, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, many people become frustrated and disappointed with praying, and it doesn't seem to work for them. Sometimes we pray and doesn't seem we don't get what we want, right? Mick Jagger wrote a song about that, Rolling Stones. You don't always get what you want. But the last part of that is really good, because, but you can try sometimes, right? I like that. And you get what you need. You know the rest of that words? Sometimes we don't get what we want, but we get what we need. I'll get off of that, preaching about the Rolling Stones in church. Maybe some of you are in that position, though. You pray and you pray and it doesn't seem like you don't get the results that you really feel like you want. And, you know, but I want to focus on the expert in praying this morning and some tips from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the expert in prayer. And he asked, when they asked him, they said, Master, teach us to pray. And what he gave them was this sample prayer. And so this morning, I want to look at this Lord's Prayer. And one thing we find about the Lord's Prayer is that it's incredibly brief. It's really short, yet it's remarkably broad. And let me ask you this question this morning. How many of you ever been subject to a marathon prayer? You know what I'm talking about? You know, I've heard some that were just, you know, wonderful prayers. I think most of you know that what I'm talking about, and these are the type of prayers that go on and on and on forever. And, you know, the person will pray from Genesis to Revelation and not skip a beat. You know, and I've heard some prayers like that before. But I can tell you there have been times that I have felt that I've been, you know, observers of that, but yet I felt like it should have been over sooner. But then there's been times where I didn't want it to end. I know that Tim Crump this weekend challenged us to pray for an hour. How many of you ever prayed for an hour straight? Just got overwhelmed and just prayed for an hour. Not forcing yourself, but just praying. You know, I think most of you have struggled with that just like I have. You know, it seems hard to pray at times. Let me clarify myself here a little bit, though. I'm not saying that a person should not pray for hours. In fact, Paul said pray without ceasing, right? It's part of our life. It's part of who we are. It's always what is on our mind and in our heart we're praying under our breath. We talked about that Wednesday night, about we pray for people like we do our kids. You know, when our kids are going through something, they're always on our mind and we're thinking about them constantly. We're praying for them constantly. Even when we're working and when we're doing other things, we're still praying because we're thinking about them. We talked about what would it be like if we could do our neighbors that way? What would it be like if we could do each other, if we could pray for each other in that same manner? That desire in our heart. Pray without ceasing. And if you desire or moved by God to pray for an extended period of time, by all means, I say do it. Pray. God honors the prayers of those who pray to Him and with sincere heart, no matter what the length of it is. But what we find in our text is a very brief prayer, but it has an intense content to it. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, He covered the content in about 30 seconds, but in extreme depths. And the first thing we find here in the Lord's Prayer is the Lord's Prayer is God-centered. It's God-centered. Most of us come to the Lord in prayer with a lot of I's and me's and my's, but not in this prayer. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, it starts out making the Father the center of His prayer. At times, Jesus refers to the Father when He says, "You're," in the beginning of His prayer. "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done." In the first sentences, He uses "your" three times. Your kingdom, Your will, Your holiness. God is the first focus of the prayer, and it is His kingdom, His will, and His holiness that is centered. Over 70 different times in the New Testament, Jesus refers to God as Father. And as He's teaching this prayer, He teaches the disciples to address God as Father. You know, the term Father indicates a childlike trust in our Heavenly Father and our part to seek Him as a child would seek out a loving father. A loving father in return will not only hear his children, but will intently listen to his children. Did you know that when you become a Christian, your relationship changes? Jesus becomes your Savior, and the church becomes your family, and God becomes your Father in heaven. And in Romans 8:15, we find this, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy or papa. And God's desire is for us to have a close relationship with Him, and we need to strive for that intimacy and nearness to God. He wants to have and not only just a relationship with you, but an intimate relationship with you. Why? Because He's your Father. God is not indifferent about His children, and He desires for all of us to have a loving relationship with Him. And we don't have to approach Him with big churchy words. We don't have to have the right words, because we have an intercessor that takes those words and makes them clear to the Father. He knows our needs. He knows what we need. We don't even have to pray with formalities. The Holy Spirit fixes all that, right? Amen? He wants us to embrace Him as our Father, to come to Him without fear. He wants us to come boldly into His presence and having the confidence that He is eager to hear the prayers of His children. And let me tell you, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the Spirit of God, we are near to Him and He is near to us. Amen? There's this intimate relationship there when He abides in us and we abide in Him. After we acknowledge God as our Father, Jesus now instructs us to see God as holy. Hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Your name. He is our Father, and He is our infinitely holy. God's nature is like a Father, but His name is holy. God, my Father, He is not just the big guy in the sky. You guys have heard that before by somebody I know. He's not just that big guy in the sky that just gives you your wants. He's not your buddy. He is the holy, almighty God, creator of all things. Amen? Amen. He's not the provider of luxuries. He's the supplier of our needs. When Isaiah saw God in chapter 6, he said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In God's presence were all kinds of heavenly beings, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." What a wonderful vision, picture to see. Even though God is my loving Father, He is also a holy Father. I need to respect that fact, but I need to do more than just respect the fact that He is a holy God. The truth is, if God is my Father, I need to move to become more like Him. As a child carries the DNA of their parents, we too need to carry the spiritual DNA of our Father who's in heaven. Becoming more Christ-like. In 1 Peter, it tells us that as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Man, that puts the point right in there, doesn't it? I know Tim said something yesterday that I really liked. I told him I'm going to steal that and use it. He said, "The more amens I get, the shorter I preach." I thought that was funny. The next part of the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What this verse says, the Lord's Prayer is kingdom-centered. Jesus, look how Jesus prayed here, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we pray this part of the prayer, we're saying, "Father, take control of my world and my life." Amen? Folks, the great truth here is that prayer has never been about asking God to do your will or my will. It's about bending our will to His will. Prayer is bringing myself into conformity with God's program, and it's His kingdom. And it's His will. It's your will, Father, be done. Because it's not my kingdom, it's your kingdom. Not only in heaven, but here on earth as well. When we pray this way, we have hope, and we're asking God to be in control of our lives, and we're asking God to have His way in this world. And, you know, I've tried to set up my own kingdom at times in my life, and I've tried to live a comfortable life, but let me tell you, nothing compares with God's kingdom. There's nothing in this world that compares to God's kingdom. Nothing. Revelation says, "He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Revelation 21, 5. How will it be new? Verse 3 and 4 of Revelation 21 tells us, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Imagine that. From these verses, I see at least two that will change. Our relationship with God will become closer. When it says there, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And God will bring about complete healing. Man, we like that one, don't we? He'll wipe away every tear, their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, and no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, because all those things have passed away. I pray that that kingdom comes. Amen. I pray that kingdom comes. The third thing, the Lord's Prayer is basic centered. In other words, give us today our daily bread, the prayer for basics of life, not luxuries. When I have heard this phrase, I've often thought that the bread that was mentioned here was for our physical needs. In fact, many commentaries, when you read, they'll indicate, you know, they'll express their thoughts too in that way. But I really believe that this bread is speaking not only about physical food, but the truth is that I think it talks about our spiritual food too. It's our spiritual nourishment as well. And I need food that will keep my body alive, but I also need food that will keep my spirit alive. Amen? Amen. Jesus tells us in John chapter 6 that "I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." How often do we need to eat? Huh? I need to eat daily, not just once a day, right? How many eat once a day? We got two? Teddy? I know that. I know you eat more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I need three meals a day and a couple snacks in between, it seems like, right? I mean, that's what I need to feel good.
All day long,
one meal a day. I need to eat every day to remain healthy, though. I mean, to eat a healthy, balanced diet. It's not that I need to eat all the donuts that they put out, you know. It's not that I need all that stuff, but I need a certain amount of food to keep me healthy, right? We all know that. We all need that. We're all a little bit different, too. But I need to eat spiritually daily as well. Listen to me. I need to dig into the Word every day, and I need to pray every day, and I need to eat spiritually every day. Not just once a week on a Sunday morning. You'll suffer from spiritual starvation that way. It's more than just once a week. It's every day of your life to sustain your spiritual life. You need that bread that only comes from one place. When you fast from the Word of God, you will starve, let me tell you. Give us this day our daily bread should be a reminder that we need to just not eat physical food, but we must consume spiritual food as well. You know, in the first century, bread had to be made on a daily basis. Do you know that? They couldn't just buy a couple loaves of bread and stick them in the freezer like we do here at the church when we catch it on sale. You know, dig it out and thaw it out when we need it. Because it'd go bad. They bought it every day. Pray for our daily needs. Do we take time to ask God to meet our physical needs and your spiritual needs daily? Do you do that? Lord, give me the strength I need to meet the challenges that I face this day. I pray that every day. That should be our prayer every day. Give me the daily strength. Grant me the daily portion. For the Lord is who sustains me every day. Jesus made that comment to His disciples when they asked Him, Master, you need to eat. We need to give you something to eat. He's like, what I'm eating from, you don't understand, but it's all I need. Folks, if we don't ask God to give us what we need every day, we will gradually succumb to the delusion that we actually can provide things for ourselves. We need God. We can think that we can handle this part of God for God, and He only handles the serious stuff in our life, and I see that often when people go through something tragic in their life, or they go through a hard time in their life, that's when they seem to find comfort in God for a short time, and then when they get comforted and things kind of blow over, they kind of just decide they can handle it all now on my own. Thank you, God, for what you did, but I've got it from here out. You know, that's what pride can do. It can swell up within us, and we can quickly pull away from the trust of God. The fourth thing is in the Lord's Prayer is forgiveness-centered. And you know, that's probably one of the hardest ones right here for people. After the request for basic needs to be met, now Jesus asks us that we be forgiven. Forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And it could also be stated that forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we seek the mercy of God to set us free, to liberate us from the crippling burdens of sin, but from the self-inflicted damage that we do to ourselves in life. Not only to ourselves, but to others around us. Man, I'll tell you what, we can hurt people easily. And we're good at it. Only God can grant us pardon from the punishments of our guilt and sin, and forgiveness of sin is the greatest need in the human heart today. It's been my observation that there is one thing that troubles Christians more than anything else is guilt in their life. We kick ourselves for our failures and punish ourselves for our faults, and we pray the Lord's Prayer asking for forgiveness, yet many times we will not even forgive ourselves. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember that if you're struggling with that today. We need to live as though we have been forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Man, do you live like you're forgiven? That's my testimony. Man, God forgave me. We need to move away from our guilt and shame and truly believe that our sins have been forgiven and that we will be completely accepted in heaven. We need to claim the promises and live them out in our lives. Amen? But that's not all. We need to forgive others in the same way that we have been forgiven. That's probably a hard one right there, isn't it? Folks, look at what this says right here. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. One asked Jesus, how many times do we forgive? He said, 70 times 7. Man, you just forgive, right? This request is that we be forgiven in the same manner that I forgive others. Woo! I tell you the truth, it's not the way I want to be forgiven. I don't want people to forgive me like I've forgiven them. I want them to forgive me like Jesus forgave me. Because my thought, my heart, it doesn't want to forgive people like Jesus forgave me. Sometimes I'm just not very forgiving. But Lord willing, I pray every day, Lord, help me with that. Help me forgive others as you've forgiven me. Powerful statement, isn't it? The Bible tells us basically we need to raise our standards of forgiveness when it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The secret of forgiveness is forgive in a manner that Christ has forgiven you and you'll be completely forgiven. Let me ask you, has Christ completely forgiven you this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen? I got a couple amens out of that, maybe three. Have your sins been washed clean? Have your debts been paid? Do you believe that in your heart? If you are a child of God, then say yes this morning. Amen. When God forgives, He forgives completely. It's not halfway. It's not three quarters of the way. You don't work it out. He don't pay half of the fine and then you say, we'll work out the rest. It's done. Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's someone in need of your grace this morning, if you've been holding a grudge with somebody, then give it. Give them the forgiveness that Christ has given you today, right now. Tell them that you've forgiven them. Let them know. Listen to what Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and There, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Have you been wronged by somebody? We all have, haven't we? Have you sinned against someone else? We all have. Amen. I won't say amen to that, but I'm just telling you, we've all done it, haven't we? I mean foot down to the kneecap. Room for the other one. I mean, but let go and let God's mercy flow. Let God take care of that. Last thing I want to talk about is the Lord's Prayer is protection-centered. And the Lord's Prayer is a cry from the depths of the human heart. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray to be saved from temptations and evil that will cross our paths. And there's lots of temptations out there in this world, isn't there? I pray, God, don't take me into those places that I'm going to be tempted beyond what I can take. And I want to tell you, God has been faithful to me for that reason. Or for that. I want to tell you what Dr. Busick said. I may have shared this last Sunday, but he said that a lady had prayed for him. She come up after the service and said, "I'm praying for you that you won't be sexually tempted." And he's like, "I was almost offended by that," because he says, "I don't have a problem with that." She's like, "I know there's lots of beautiful women in this church, and I don't want you to be tempted that way." And he said, "But I got to thinking about that," and he said, "Well, maybe that's why I'm not tempted, is because that lady's been praying for me." Huh? Amen. God works that way. We pray for each other. That's that intercessory prayer that we were talking about on Wednesday night. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Folks, you know, there's all these temptations that we have, but there's many ways to be dishonest. There's many ways we can fall short of God's will in our life. We just have to be careful. And I remember one time that I went to a store and I bought some stuff, and when I'd paid, the clerk gave me back more money than I was supposed to have. And I know some of you, I've heard stories from you guys that's happened to you. He made a mistake. And I told him, I said, "Listen, you gave me too much money back." And he said, "You could have walked out the door." He said, "I wouldn't have known it." I said, "But that wasn't right. I couldn't do that. There's no way I couldn't do it." Why? Because inside of me, I mean, the Holy Spirit would have beat me up. I couldn't have lived with myself. Lead me not into temptation. It would have been easy for me to just stick that in my pocket and walk on out. Man, our honesty and integrity are important assets in the Christian life. Man, who we say we are, we need to be who we say we are. Amen? Amen. If we're followers of Christ, we need to be followers of Christ. Not part-time. It's not a Sunday deal, right? You know, you and I, all of us are faced with temptations every day. And, you know, when we look at the Greek word translated temptation, it refers to test and trials. We could also read this also and lead us not into trials and testing, but deliver us from evil. I we need to pray, "Please, Lord, keep me out of the hands of the evil one." So we ask God to keep us from falling. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we keep going. That's how we... You see, we're not strong enough to handle it on our own. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The one that leads us. The one that we need to be listening to. And that's one thing we talked about yesterday too. Is listening to the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Do you ask Him, is this what I need to do? Because this is your will, not mine. Do I need to make this decision? Look at what Corinthians 10 says. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. There is always a way out, and it's through God Almighty. So I say, ask God to lead you away from temptation. And when you're faced with the enticement to sin, look for a way out. And God is faithful and will not leave you to face your temptations alone. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for His protection and keep up your guard. And I want to close with these thoughts right here. I cannot say our if I live only for myself. And I cannot say Father if I do not endeavor each day to act like His child. I cannot say hallowed be your name if I do not respect God as being the holy God. I cannot say your kingdom come if I'm not allowing God to reign in my life. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread if I'm trusting in myself instead of in God's provision. I cannot say, forgive us of our sins if I'm nursing a grudge or withholding forgiveness from someone else. And I cannot say, lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in the path of temptation. So this morning, how do you pray? Do you pray as though God Himself is listening? Or do you just say words that just bounce off the ceiling of your house and fall to the floor? Father God, let us humble ourselves. Father, Daddy, help us today. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and power forever. Amen. 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 Let us leave here better than we came, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.